Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness. It's the 10th of May and hopefully this will go out tomorrow on the Sunday. It's quite close to the last one, but we were behind schedule. And as I said, I'll try and do another one. So here we are. Notice for the last few weeks, we've been quite low on the cat side. So actually one is here. I'm just going to introduce her. This is Ingemare. Say hello, Ingemare. She's the youngest. She's about 7 months old. And she's just about into everything. So that's her little moment of fame, and we'll see how many more we get. So because we're just 1 week after our last one, you'd think that there might not be so much happening, but of course there is. 2019 seems to be, well, it doesn't seem to stop, does it? So what I want to do really is talk about, first of all, the US, and then we'll talk about some other things. The Mueller report, which is the report that was then stuck through with a big blue pencil, caused a lot of consternation amongst certain factions of the elite, because the it's not the Mueller report itself, it's what's behind it. There's a guy called William Barr, and he's the Attorney General, and he's basically looking into illegal activity when President Obama was in charge, and it's alleged that President Obama authorized the FBI to spy on the then Donald Trump during the campaign. And it appears that there are some evidence and some names, and because there's a potential of a grand jury here, these names and the evidence were struck out with a blue pencil. Now, this is the main reason why in the House the Democrats are quite keen to get hold of this report unedited, because they want to know whose names are in the frame. So this is the huge battle, and this is the reason for it, that's going on between seemingly a document which isn't that important, because the document actually says there's no collusion. But there may be some obstruction, which, as American politics goes, isn't that great. So there has to be something much bigger, and this is the backdrop behind that. President Trump is looking for re-election, and if he were able to secure some high-grade convictions on members of the establishment, that probably would secure him a re-election. So there's that. And that's really quite pivotal, because I'm being told that this will probably be released in June. And so the full report in terms of legal action being taken against people. So looking at June for any possible indictments to be, you know, officially in the public's eye, opened finally at last something. The other key point away from the US actually is in Japan, where the new emperor was, I don't know if we can say sworn into office, but was put into office. And that is really important, because he is not as heavily connected with the old elite as the previous emperor. And Japanese culture sort of dictates that when a new emperor changes, then a lot of things change. And what has gone before does not necessarily carry on. You see, in the Western world, when a government has a policy and that government changes, that policy probably still carries on, because it is the government that's taken that decision. But when an emperor is involved and the emperor changes, then it can alter quite a lot. And this is important because it has quite a bearing on the financial situation to do with the US and to do with China and Asia. And you should see that in connection with the ongoing trade war now between President Trump and China. Today, I think, has been announced a very large increase, 25% on nearly $300 billion worth of imports from China. So there's a battle going on here in terms of the greater economy. And remember, it isn't China that pays this extra revenue to the US. It is the importers. And they will then probably pass their costs on. But nevertheless, what it does do is it gives the US Treasury an increase in money which was not planned for. So if you're getting $50, $60, $70 billion that you didn't expect to get, well, you know, that's quite significant. So as always, there's a political thing here, but I want you to see, please, that it's a much wider backdrop in terms of the economy. It's doubtful whether, when they call it a reset, when and if that occurs, whether it would be reasonably balanced. It's unlikely, I think, to occur while the situation is so unbalanced. The losing side, shall we say, would be very, very unwilling to trigger or go down the road of some form of financial reset or reevaluation if they were going to come out of it very badly. So 2 years ago, commentators were talking up the possibility of a reset or a reevaluation. But when we look at the way that the Asian situation is, the way that China is at the moment, it would be very unbalanced. China's strength in reserves now is more marked than it was sort of 8 months ago. So again, I'm not ruling it out, but I'm saying that at the moment, with the China's in such a strong position, the West would be rather foolish to try and do anything. And that again is one of the reasons why the Trump is going for the finance of China. So that was that one. The other thing I've put on to talk about is the Brexit. And in a couple of weeks' time, in Great Britain, there's what might be the final vote for anything by the public to do with the European Union. It's when every 5 years or so, the British and other European countries elect their lawmakers to represent them at the main Parliament building for Europe. It's looking as if the Brexit Party might take the lion's share of the seats. Now, what I'm picking up is that people, regardless of what political party they would vote in a national election, probably will vote for Brexit simply because they know that those Brexit politicians will cause as much trouble for Europe as possible, and probably, Europe will be quite glad to see the back of Britain. So if, as it looks, that Nigel Farage's party, the Brexit party, scores a considerable number of politicians, they will then go to the Parliament, mix with other anti-European politicians, and then maybe enough votes to hold up or prevent the European Parliament setting a budget. So I think that the Brexiteers would be absolute wreckers, which would guarantee Britain leaving the European Union or being booted out. So what I'm saying is that regardless of what people normally vote, you should see a massive swing to the Brexit, which is interesting because, you see, 1 million people, they tell us, marched through London not so long ago wanting to stay in Europe. But what we find is the people, what I call the silent majority, the people who don't go on marches, they don't write blogs, they just get on with their lives. These are the ones that are going to vote for out of Europe. So there'll be a very interesting result there. And it is important because Britain privately is known as the treasure chest by all the other European countries. And what that means is that Britain generally pays more to Europe than it gets out of it. Another reason why there's been such a huge pull by many people in government who know that to get Britain out. So with Britain gone, that's a huge hole in the budget of the European Union. Now, crazy as it sounds, the elite are banging on about climate change, and they've been whipping up the media, affecting schools, lots of school kids doing projects on climate change, and you know, very worthy, I'm sure they are, and they've done drawings and they've gone marches and all the rest of it. And then the European Union said that it might use up to 25% of its budget to fight climate change. 25% of the entire budget of the European Union used for climate change. That's totally insanity. They don't use that amount on hospitals, on the military, on the police, on anything. And you begin to see the craziness, the desperation, you know. And the other thing is that the British government is completely locked up. It can't get anything through at the moment. But they're talking about forcing vaccinations through now in Great Britain, saying that it will force parents to have their children vaccinated, whether they like it or not. And again, we see this crazed angle that's pushing the media. It's like climate change, or it's about, you know, vaccinations. And the reality is that if we're supposed to live in a free society, then we should be able to make those choices ourselves and not have the state come in and, you know, regulate on our behalf. So what I'm saying is that the media, or many arms of the media, are now being manipulated again. And it's this big circle, it's this flavour of the month, you know, like the hands of a clock. As the hand goes round, each topic is debated and pushed, and then it goes off the boil. And then by the time the hand comes round again, that topic is kicked up and restarted. And for people who are a bit older like me, we've seen it all before. We've seen the hands go round the clock many, many times. It's that old chestnut. And I remember, I'm going to make people laugh now, I remember in the 1970s as a school kid, the news, the official news, being full of the fact there was a mini ice age coming. Now, this was before the elite decided they want to cripple humanity by starting a global warming campaign. So we went from the BBC, you know, that bastion of free knowledge, telling us all in the 70s there was a mini ice age coming, to, you know, there's global warming. And, you know, where I live and many people lived, not this winter, but last winter, we were all snowed in. Now, I know people will say to me, well, global warming doesn't actually just mean, you know, you're going to stop having cold winters. It's about the amount of water, et cetera, et cetera. And again, here we go. There were lots of reports in the newspapers that by the year 2025, Britain was going to run out of water. Really? How crazy is that? So these are all these threats that are being levelled because somebody has got a very sharp pin and is poking people and saying, get this story out. Let's make this a big issue. Let's do this. Let's do that. And, you know, thank goodness that most people look at it and say, well, you know, what's that all about? Come on, let's have some serious science on it. America has completely pulled out of all of the climate change deals because they've said it's all just an elite nonsense. So for the first time, you know, any country has actually stuck two fingers up, which is Trump has stuck two fingers up and said, no, I'm not taking part in it. And that's quite interesting because all the usual names in the frame, such as Obama and many of the others, were, you know, really pushing the line. So let's talk about that. The last one I want to talk about, I've just sent the link to be put up on the website. When WikiLeaks founder was very dramatically pulled out of the embassy, he activated some codes which did a large dump of information, and most of that was already out, to be truthful, but there were extra stuff hidden in with the coding. And one of them is a purport, so I have to be careful what I say, purports to show the back lot filming for the moon landings. You know, we've seen so many jokes on YouTube and also in real Hollywood films where they've made allusion to this by, you know, you see the astronauts on the moon and then the camera pulls back and the guys sitting around having hamburgers, or the lights collapse or something goes funny. But this is a one of the dumps from WikiLeaks, which very, very interestingly shows you know, how that moon landing was faked. And I've always believed that what we were shown was not necessarily accurate. I have never accepted the official line on that. So here we are, something from WikiLeaks. No wonder so many people didn't want WikiLeaks to come out with stuff. And the bizarre thing is, of course, is that so much has been proved to be truthful, and yet the organizations of the establishment wish to suppress the truth. I can understand them wanting to suppress lies, but why would you want to suppress truth? Anyway, there we go. So that's it. A little bit of a roundup. I want to try and get a few some of the questions. So thank you, Becky, for being so patient and waiting. Let's see what we've got.
Okay, thanks. First question is from Ian, who says, my question is about the so-called hundreds of ghost cities being built or already built in China. Could Simon please shed some light and insight onto the reasons for them being constructed? Much speculation abounds from various sources I've looked at that they've maybe partly been made in preparation for an influx from the West after a disaster, and there seems to be a significant investment in them from the Rothschild dynasty. Is that correct?
Yes, it's quite interesting. There's also, this is a big one, was it in relation to China, the question?
Yes, the hundreds of ghost cities being built in China.
There are also some being built in Africa. And they're themed. They're actually themed. So one has a German theme, not surprising really. One has a Parisian theme, and one has an Italian theme. There may be others, but they are ghost towns or cities. I have no idea how big they are. I've not been there myself. But I know that they're real and that they're themed, so that a person with a particular background would feel quite at home. So when a lot of the Germans left Germany in 1945-46 and they moved to, you know, South America, they turned some of those streets into streets that resembled what they were used to, and indeed they named them in the same vein. And so the question is whether these cities are for non-humans to inhabit the planet and share the earth but not be in direct competition because they're not living next door to you, or whether this is for forcible relocation of remaining populations, that I don't know. It's one of the most closely guarded secrets, in the sense that it's, I understand that these areas, these perimeters are guarded by private security guards. I also understand that there are locations where they're supposed to be, but there's nothing there. So there's a lot of smoke and mirrors going on. What I can say is that I believe them to be true, or some of them to be true. They certainly have elite funding behind it, but I am not clear who is supposed to be living there. If we look at the elite's plan to remove a sizable proportion of humanity, why would you want lots of cities? it makes no sense. So, you know, there is that other possibility that has been mentioned to me more than once, that it would be for non-humans who were in the position to share the earth when the human population had been sizably reduced. So, yes, I believe that some of them are true, but I do not know what the purpose is of for them. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Tony says, dear Simon, what significance does the recent name change of a historical Los Angeles street, Rodeo Doctor, to now Obama Boulevard mean? Does that mean the deep state is winning the war against the white hats?
No, it doesn't. Speaking as an ex-politician, if somebody's got a bee in their bonnet, for instance, I might like in history a person who 200 years ago, you know, planted hundreds of trees, and he was a great, this is just made up, it's just an aside here, but he planted lots of trees and he was a great expert of trees, and I was a great fan of his, and I was a politician, and I would campaign to have a street named after him, or I'd call it Tree Avenue or Tree Lane. So from perspective of local lawmakers can put forward names of their favourite politicians. So, you know, there would be Democrats in that local legislature who would want the Obama name to live on. The other thing is, of course, that Obama was a president of the United States, and you have to respect the office if you don't respect the man. So by naming a street after him, you are just doing what has always been done. I should imagine that every president's name lives on in a monument or a street somewhere. The question is, it'd be very interesting to see who's going to live in Obama Avenue or Obama Lane, wherever it is, whether only Democrats live there. So I don't read too much into that at all. I think it's of no significance to the game that's being played. I think it's more to do with, at local level, somebody is a great fan of Obama, and they want to go down in history as the person that got a street named after their favourite president. It's as simple as that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Paul says, "Hello, Miss Becky and Sir Simon.
My name..." Sorry, Sir Simon?
Yes.
Oh, bless him. No, I haven't received the knighthood yet. My grandfather was offered a knighthood, Knight of the Garter, and he turned it down because he said that if he was offered a knighthood, then his own words to me were, when I was 21 years old when he told me all this, and he said, they would control me forever. So he turned down a knighthood, and I can genuinely tell you that I have not been offered a knighthood, and I'm not a sir. So, please don't call me that, because, I'm not. Carry on with the question.
Okay, thanks. Thinking about it, I'm not a miss either. Misses. Anyway, my name is Paul, and I live in Toronto, Canada, and I had a few sessions with Simon to remove a gin. I hope he remembers me. I want him to know I am doing well, fighting the negative energies every day. Thanks for helping me find my strength. My question, I am making ORMUS, that's spelled ORMUS, which stands for Orbitally Rearranged Monoatomic Elements, from Dead Sea Salt, like in the ancient times. What can you tell me about ORMUS, aka Juice of the Gods? I am part of an online telekinesis school, and all of the students are taking it. It is said that it helps connect people to their inner abilities and healing powers. What can ORMUS really do? I'm sending protecting light to you. Thank you.
Oh, that's fine. I'm probably more helpful if I send protecting light to you. I think with ORMUS, we would really think about monatomic gold. That, I think, has got a lot of credence to it. I think there's a real history to that. We know from a number of sources that at some point in Earth's history that was a useful material which could be, first off, was tried to extract that from the oceans, and then at a later date by digging directly into the ground in Africa to extract materials. Part of the decline of humanity. It's interesting, isn't it, that it was a money-based system. It was gold that brought about the demise of humanity, in the sense that it was the driving force to begin to split humanity into different types or different hierarchical groups. But the question is a difficult one, because there is a huge market for this. I know that for a fact. There are lots and lots of online shops selling this material and the whole range of it. I genuinely don't know. I haven't used it. In terms of monatomic gold, then I am pretty clear that there's something rather special about that. But in terms of other materials, I'm not prepared to say, because I haven't had experience. The gold one I know clearly about. But sea salt, what are you extracting out of that? Is it just the salt? So I really can't answer any more than that. I mean, if you're using it and you feel, really great and it's really doing you good, then I guess you carry on doing it, don't you? You have to be very careful on the websites, because the establishment don't want to push anything alternative that's any good. And unfortunately, there are some unscrupulous individuals who set themselves up claiming that X, Y, or Z can cure everything, but that's nothing new. That's been going on for 200, 300 years. But nevertheless, it's very prevalent now with modern technology, because you can't see what you're buying. That's the key. You know, you go 200 years ago, 100 years ago, you would go up and you'd see the stuff in the bottle and you'd be able to talk to the person. And, you know, if it didn't work, you'd go back and you'd tell him it didn't work. Now you're buying stuff and, you know, you've got no real redress or recourse. So do be careful and just go by personal recommendation. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Eva says, "Hello, Simon. I'm Eva from Estonia. About a month ago, I registered to join Connecting Consciousness, but I haven't received any answer. I would still very much like to join. Should I try and register again?"
I'm really sorry that's happened. What tends to happen is that sometimes a coordinator leaves and a new coordinator takes over, and those records aren't clearly followed through, or there's a confusion. Sometimes the messages just don't get through. Remember that Connecting Consciousness is made up of volunteers, so there's nobody sitting there working 9 to 5 Monday to Friday like a call center or an insurance firm. And if they don't do their quota, then they get in trouble. You know, I rely on people throughout the world, out of goodness of their heart, to do what they can. And I'm certainly not going to say to somebody, "You only answered 10 emails today. You know, I want you to answer 20 or 30, because I'm not in the position to do that, because I don't pay people. And I appreciate that, you know, I need spiritual people. I'd rather have someone who's a bit slower, to be honest with you, who's spiritual, than someone who perhaps worked in real estate or selling second-hand cars and wanted to be in the organisation for very wrong or dubious circumstances. So I can only apologise. What will happen is I would ask Becky, please, to look into that and to connect with you directly. And, you know, give me an opportunity to say to anybody, if you have emailed and you haven't heard, please do so again. Connecting Consciousness is in the strongest position it's been now since we created it. We've got more people now volunteering. We've got more coordinators. We've got databases just about up and running. We've got a whole wealth of talented, very kind people who are offering their time, their specialism, when they can't afford to offer the time, but they're doing it, which means that, you know, we will, if you put yourself forward, we will probably have a coordinator in your country for you to be with. And if we haven't, maybe you might be willing to start up a group. So, you know, it's really exciting. It's wonderful, but it means a lot of work, because we're all volunteers in that sense of it. They're all out there working with their groups in different countries. You know, and I would please ask people to please be patient. We will get through to you as quickly as we can. We don't play horrible, annoying music while you're on hold, telling you that, you know, you're in the 15th in the queue, but your call is important to us and we will take it soon. What I can tell you is that your message really is important to us and to me. That's why we're doing it. And remember, don't charge for membership. You know, it doesn't cost anything to be a member of Connecting Consciousness. These podcasts I do, I don't monetize them. I don't want that. I don't want to mix the money with the intent. Soon as you, if you have a spiritual organization and you bring in the money side of it, then I don't care what anyone says, it begins to corrupt, it begins to change. And I always said that I didn't want to mix the information I was giving with the ability for people to pay. And didn't want somebody like YouTube to be able to turn around to me and say, "Well, we don't like your videos, and if you don't stop talking about X, Y, or Z, we're going to stop, you know, your adverts." So they don't have that hold over us. And I've always said I would much rather rely on donations, on the work that we do, because that is the heart of a person. And, you know, that's how we keep our independence. If the donations were to dry up, then what would I do? Would I monetize it, or would I just stop? I guess I'd have to just stop, because I couldn't throw all of my fine words to the wind and say, "Oh, well, I'm going to have to monetize it now." Where's the principle in that? So if we financially couldn't go on, well, I'd have to pull it, because I wouldn't corrupt what's been created. That's why it's so important that we get supported. So hang in there. Someone will get back to you. I'll ask Becky to chase it. Thank you. Can we have the next question, please?
Sure. Anna says, do ETs have cases of disabilities or birth defects like we do on Earth?
Very rarely. It's a really good question in the sense that I've never been asked that before. The answer is very rarely. Most ETs, most have some form of genetic cycle. They're not clones, but they are containing a material that is self-replicating and doesn't have the mixed genealogy that humans have. So it's very difficult for the blueprint to go wrong. So what is the standard pattern would always, you know, ensure in most cases. Where it does occur is in hybrids, where a human, non-human material has been mixed. It's very common for those hybrids to be missing a finger or missing a toe or something like that. Far more common there than it is in those creatures. Now, if you were to look at a program life form, like a grey, then that just doesn't occur because that is exactly what it says it is. It is a sort of semi-living physical entity with no soul in it, and that is just coming off the factory line. Whereas something that is divinely created has the potential to have an alteration. By the time you get to the fourth dimension and up, the technology is such that it's very rare. Not impossible, but very rare. Good question. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Lilia says, can you explain what geotran therapy is and how it helps people?
I think we have to be a little bit careful here. The connection of the muscles, of the souls, and the physical body with time and space, how you can take charge of yourself, how you can undo any illness, how you can not become a super person, but how you can work with that. It is difficult for me to give you a definitive answer because what I understand by it is that it reduces humanity down to coding. Just as a machine or computer has a code, so does the human body. And it's said that if you treat it like that, you look at it like that, then you can take it and change it and send it on the right path and do all these nice positive things. The difficulty I have is that the old alarm bells ring when anybody uses the word computers with humanity in terms of suggesting that the encoding of humanity is computer-like. Perhaps to an expert in the field, they read the codes and it appears like a computer code. But I am so defensive of humanity that I would be very unhappy to to take any of that on board. To me, being divine, the divinely created, to being a human, is not the same as a machine. And I don't personally like the idea of being reduced to code numbers. So I am familiar with it, but I don't support it simply because of the principle I've just given. It doesn't mean it doesn't work. It doesn't mean it doesn't do good things. It's just that that flavour of it doesn't appeal to me. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Marcus says, this question is from my 12-year-old son. How come in a dream I don't actually feel pain? I think I feel pain.
Because when this is a dream, mm-hmm. not a real happening that's been presented to you as a dream, you are not connecting with the physical receptors in your body. The whole point, perhaps, of a dream is to release certain energies that are not being released during the daytime. And there isn't a need for you to feel the pain. So people have dreams, unpleasant dreams, but they don't actually feel the pain, and when they wake up in the morning, they don't necessarily see a mark on their body. So if someone dreams of being in a sword fight and getting cut with a sword, there won't be a cut on your arm because it wasn't required to create that in your physical body. The whole point was the excitement of the sword fight and the emotional stuff that goes with that. So we don't feel it. But if you were having an out-of-body experience, less so with a remote view, but with an out-of-body experience, then it is possible that you would actually find physical marks on your body like that. In terms of messages being sent to you, it may appear as a dream, but it's really something that's been given to you. Again, there isn't a need to make you feel the pain, unless, of course, it's a psychic attack, and that's not actually a dream. That is a psychic attack, which then convinces your neurons that you are under attack or you're in pain. Let's say, for instance, someone sends you the image that you're being strangled. Well, you will feel the strangle and your neck will close because that element of the brain is registering that you're being strangled and it believes it to be true, so you feel the pain. If you are energy ascended beyond that, then you can counter it because you say this is not real, there is no physical, and you can block it. So dreams play their role, but they don't give you pain. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
I'm going to do some of my thank yous now. I didn't do it last week. I wanted to thank people. It's a bit longer list simply because this is extra week's worth and I probably haven't got everybody here. But it's part of what we do and it's an important part. So I want to thank Laura, Ingeborg, Kiss, John, David, Margaret, Mary, the little warehouse. Is that a cat? Yes, it is. Joanne, Lars, Rhoda, Julio, Janice, Jeff, Oliver, Edeline, Sandra. It looks like Heike, Pavla, Raymond, Candice, Soul Communication, Maria, Rudolf, Campbell, John, Benjamin, Gunda, Amanda, Patup, Vesna, Paul, Lillian, Undin, Alan, Simon, Martin, Robert, Michael, Alfredo, Robin, Charlie, David, Gundmar, Leaf, Drumset, Charlotte, Massa, Manuel, Gay, Rhiannon, we're nearly there, Breda, Susan, Abby, Eric, Andre, Bjorn, Vita, I had two Vitas, oh well, Valerie, Nick, Martin, and Imogen. To all of you who have sent kind donations, I thank you. And those who have and haven't been read out, please don't take that personally. It's just, I've probably just missed you. Thank you for all of that. Have we got many more questions left, Becky?
Well, we've got another good one.
Oh, come on then.
Okay, this is from Eric. Hi, Simon. In regards to mind control, are you aware of the trigger words bluebird? I'm going through the process of snapping out of whatever was placed on me as a child. A guy at work used the words, which I thought was odd. It somehow affected me. I recently noticed at the start of the 80s children's TV show, Rainbow, a bluebird flying on the show's introduction. I loved this show as a child. I had a strange out-of-body and abduction-type experience as a child, and as an adult work with Tetra, which is an experimental communications system used by police that uses microwaves. Mm. I know I am being mind-controlled. Rainbows and white rabbits also stand out, which I'm aware are mind-control tools.
Right, well, why don't you send an email to Becky or Andy if you are aware that you've got mind control, and see if we can fit you in. I am booked up, but if you've got mind control, well, I'm happy to perhaps give up some time of the lunch hour for 10 minutes. Let's just have a quick chat. Let's have a look at it, see if it's something I can help you with, and talk it through. if we accept that for many, many years on the Western world, let's just confine ourselves to that at the moment, in the Western world, that there's been a massive program to indoctrinate children, both from the elite and the non-elite background, the best way to get them is through children's programs. And nearly every child's program has programming in it. It's not about triggering so much as programming. There's something that most of you perhaps won't be familiar with. It's called the Teletubbies. That was something hugely programmable material in it. I mean, go right back to Bill and Ben, the two puppets in the 1960s. So when is it programming and when is it just entertainment? And the point is that entertainment can be used to program. So colors, shapes, absolutely all used as both programming and triggering. So I won't go on any more there. This is a personal thing for you. And if you'd like, send an email in and I'll find 10 minutes to have a chat with you and see what we can do. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Olga says, "Hi, Simon. In your last Connecting Consciousness on May the 4th, you spoke about Notre Dame de Paris and about the enormous donations. Not only is it done for being recognised as a generous donator, but you should know that 66% of the sum will be given back to the donator by the government as tax deductible. In fact, it is all the people who make these 66% donations. And don't you find it strange that only rich men were giving publicly? We have not heard about some rich women doing so. Is it because they are more sensitive about the situation of a great majority of French people having difficult time in making ends meet? Thank you for your work. I appreciate your insights."
Thank you. No, it's because the people who gave the donations are all part of the same club. There are people who've given donations are not part of the club and they're not being recognised for it publicly. Privately, they'll probably get a letter, but publicly they're not going to be pushed. I mean, the point that you made that you didn't pick up on, I'm sure you're aware of it, but you didn't mention it there, is that the number 66, that is why that's a tax returnable, 66. And they'll find another six somewhere to make the three sixes. So the whole thing is just stinks. All of it just stinks. And that's why it far from bringing the French people together, it actually, and I use the word lightly, it inflamed the situation with the riots, because people were saying, why are we surviving from day to day when X, Y, and Z can give so many millions of pounds for a religious building, when hospital isn't up to date or the school is falling down? Where's this is inequality, and France has the word equality as part of its enshrined constitution since the revolution. So I think French men and women are being slapped in the face with inequality when the French were all about equality. So that's the problem here. That's why it's gone wrong. Those organizations that have donated have done so because they feel it their duty to do so, because the elements behind the facade probably connect with them quite strongly. And you find that people draw together, the good draws together, the bad draw together. And so when a very nasty situation like the burning down of Notre Dame occurs, then we should be mindful of the type of people that are drawn to, pick over the bones of the place, shall we say. So, yeah, no, I know what you're saying to me, but I think what's more important is money, because it's all about money. There's nothing about else on this planet, unfortunately. And so 66%, that's the accurate figure, doesn't surprise me. 66% going back as tax deductible, it's all part of a satanic circle. Great question. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott says, "Hi, Simon. What is your opinion on soul or spirit contract removal? Andrew Bartz's, for one, has various contract revocations relating to removing our energetic chains to the banking families, for example. And do they work?"
I think Andrew Bartis called himself the international, the galactic historian or something, reading the Akashic or his own DNA records. I could never afford Andrew's things. I think a couple of years ago, I think he was charging something like $1,000 for a consultation. Please forgive me if I'm wrong, but there was a person back in, I think, 2014 that wanted to have a session with him, and he said to her it was $1,000, which she couldn't afford. So it isn't something that I could do because I can't afford it. There are two sorts here. One literally is a connection that we have on this planet over many, many lifetimes that we forge at that time, at a place, because at that time it either suits us or we're tricked into doing it. Then there's the other sort, which is an alien contract that comes through and generally done when we're children and we don't fully understand what we're getting ourselves into. And on the 3D level, there's the contract that secret societies have with each other. You buy something from a shop, you get a receipt, a piece of paper. That's a contract. You know, you're born, you get a birth certificate. That's a contract. Now, you were a few years ago able to go to the Vatican and find your way to a tiny little room. Literally was, I don't know, Monsignor, don't think it'd be anyone as high as a cardinal, a Monsignor sitting there, and you could, theoretically, by presenting your birth certificate, buy yourself out of the Catholic Church, even if you weren't a Catholic. You were able to say, I am no longer wanting to be under this contract, and it could be revoked. Now I think they've done away with that, because perhaps too many people were queuing up and blocking the entrance to the kiosk where you pay to come in, and you know you don't really want to be you know blocking up the kiosk where people pay to go around the Vatican. I assume you pay. I wouldn't have thought it was free, but certainly there'd be a gift shop, and we wouldn't want to block up people buying things from the gift shop, would we? So these contracts that are made in the energy represent and manifest themselves in the physical world, and it is very difficult, nigh on impossible, to remove yourself by a revocation from the system, because the system doesn't recognize that. So, for instance, somebody says, it's illegal to pay taxes, I'm not going to pay taxes. So you do one of these revocations and you're not paying. The next thing, you've got the IRS knocking on the door saying, if you don't pay your taxes, we'll arrest you. Well, the point is that free will doesn't exist in that sense, but the other side exhibits free will. Their free will is not to accept your revocation. So what we find is that we have more effect breaking secret society's grip or aliens' grip in terms of ancient or more recent contracts that the individual has signed him or herself into. That's far, it's far more readily available to remove those than it is in this physical world, because you can probably, in Great Britain, probably get out of having to pay a TV license. That's actually not so difficult. You can actually have a television and not pay for that. There are ways around it. There are other ways that people have stopped paying taxes to the local council, but it requires a huge amount of understanding of the law. You have to make sure you write your letters exactly in the right way, and it's got absolutely nothing to do with revocation. It's got everything to do with knowing the law inside out and understanding that basically most of these things are based on fallacy, that you know we just pay because we pay. But if we turn around and say, I'm not going to pay, then it becomes difficult. Here's an interesting case. I don't want to go off topic, but there's a guy who, not particularly very nice, but he's in prison in Great Britain, and he refused to go to court. He refused. So you'd think the system would collapse because he'd refused to go. What happened was the judge took the court to the prison. So, you know, if you're going to fight in a 3D way, you've got to fight it because you've got to use the tools of the trade. At the moment, it's the only game in town. I'm using that word regularly at the moment because it does bring it across. It is the only game in town, and there are a number of people who have studied law very effectively and then challenged these organizations and won it. So I don't personally offer revocations because I don't think they're very effective. What I do is I can break contracts that you've had in past lifetimes and with aliens, providing you have certain information. If you have certain information that we can use to break the contract, then it can be done. But most people can't provide that information because it's been blanked from their minds. And that's why in one of the rare cases I say to people, go to a hypnotherapist, get them to take you back and get that key moment, come back to me, and then we can use it. Thank you. I hope that's helpful.
Thank you. Okay, the last question for today is from Bradley, who says, you mentioned that there are many different soul families here reincarnated on the surface. Is it possible to be a highly awakened individual that is a human soul, an original soul from this planet, so an Earth human soul? I'm wondering why I have no connection to any soul family in particular. However, I feel a connection to all living beings equally. I feel strongly in not worshipping any religion or God. I do believe in source beyond this planet and source within each of us on this planet.
Right, it doesn't actually frankly matter whether you're a reptilian, that's a shock, isn't it, Palladian, or human. It's the choice you make. So let's say someone is an Earth human soul, no alien in them at all, apart from obviously there's going to be some mixtures because you can't be a pure human. It's not possible. We're all mixed up. But let's say that you have an Earth human soul. But if you've become spiritual, that means you've opened and become aware of your connection to source. All living creatures have a connection to source, but humans need to unlock it and accept it and understand it to actually connect and communicate. So if an Earth human person has done that, then they're flying. You know, you can have the most wonderful fifth dimensional Palladian or Arcturian, but if they're not accepting who they are or the belief in source, then they're nothing, because they haven't understood who they are and what they are and what their relationship is and the way the multiverse works. So let's not get hung up about which group we're from. That's important because we need to check back to see what we can put right and what we can improve on. But in terms of your spiritual development, what's more important is the strands of DNA, the energy strands of DNA that you are activating, and your connection and your belief and your practice towards a spiritual life. So source is connecting with everybody. It's whether that person wants to go with it. So, you know, it frankly doesn't matter. What I talk about is a 75% of Earth humans, vast majority of which are, we call them asleep. And doesn't mean that source isn't connected to them. Of course it is. It just means that they're not facing it, doing something with it, and developing. So thank you very much. It's been great to do a second show. I want to thank every one of you for taking the time and the trouble to listen, and for taking the time and the trouble to do your own research, to question, and to seek the truth. So, you know, thanks ever so much. Bye-bye now.